If ye love me, keep my commandments. President N. Eldon Tanner. N. Eldon Tanner, Conference Report, October 1968, pages 46-51. At the call of our leader, President David O. McKay, I am privileged this morning to address you who are assembled here in this historic tabernacle, and also the vast radio and television audience. I do so in all humility and with a prayer in my heart that what I might say will be in harmony with the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We who will occupy this position during this conference have the responsibility to do as Paul charged Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men refuse sound doctrine. The last days are here and now, and Paul's prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. Men are refusing sound doctrine, and after their own lusts they are turning their ears from the truth and are listening to those who preach to their own liking. As a result, we are suffering many tribulations throughout the world. We have reached a time in our history which I believe is the most crucial mankind has ever had to face. Thinking, serious-minded people in all fields of endeavor agree that present circumstances cannot continue very much longer without precipitating one of the most serious crises man has ever known. Reason for turmoil. As we consider these disturbing conditions in a world of turmoil, I am sure we are asking the simple questions: why is there so much strife and hate in the world between nations, within states, in universities, and even in groups of local communities, and with this unrest, distrust, and strife extending even into the home? Why is it so universal? What can and should be done to correct these conditions with which none of us are content or happy? As I was contemplating these matters, I continued to search the scriptures for an answer. As we all know, the Holy Writ is replete with exhortations, warnings, and prophecies pertaining to the welfare of mankind and conditions in the latter days, or the days in which we now live. We find the world divided into two great opposing camps. One is made up of individuals and nations whose philosophy of life is fully materialistic, who not only reject, but aggressively repudiate, the true Christian way of life. In the other camp are those who still retain a nominal recognition of spiritual and moral values. These comprise what we call our Christian civilization. One of the greatest tragedies of this generation, however, is that so much of our so-called Christian civilization does no more than profess Christianity, and, in fact, many today do not even profess solution to problems. The only clear and sure solution to our problems is to make our professed Christianity real, to make it personal, applied in our lives. Accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and as the real living Savior of mankind, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ not only gave his life for us, but he has also given us clearly the plan of life and of salvation, and he has assured us that to gain eternal life we must live by sound doctrine, which is the word of the Lord, spoken either by God or Jesus Christ or by the prophets of God. This doctrine answers clearly and definitely such vital questions as: who are we? Where did we come from? Why are we here? Is there life after death? Is there a living, personal God? What is our relationship to God, the eternal Father? Is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Son of God? What must we do to gain exaltation and enjoy eternal life? Answers to questions. For answers to these questions, let us turn to and consider the words of the Lord and of the prophets, both ancient and modern. While we were all in the spirit world with God the Father, his only begotten Son, then with him in the spirit, said, we will go down, and we will make an earth whereon these made well, and we will prove them herewith, to see if they will do all things whatsoever the Lord their God shall command them. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. How uplifting and dignifying it is to know that we are truly the spirit children of God, made in his image, that he and Jesus Christ are personal gods, that they are interested in us, and that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as stated in ancient and modern scripture. On different occasions God introduced him to man on the earth in these words: this is my beloved Son, hear him. Jesus taught that as the spirit children of the Father, with that spark of divinity in us, we can become like him by keeping his commandments. He also said, search the scriptures, which testify of me. And Paul told the Romans, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Then again we have the words of Jesus, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. In answer to the question, if I die shall I live again, Christ said, I am the resurrection, and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He gave his life and was resurrected that man might not remain forever in the grave. He also assured the multitude, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Resurrection, an important step. Regarding his resurrection, we have also the testimony of Paul, who was once a persecutor of the saints, and an ear of Christ, that the apostles and he himself and hundreds of others had seen Christ after he rose, the third day according to the Scriptures. How fortunate is the person who looks forward to the resurrection as an important step in eternal progression and prepares now to meet God. As I attended the funeral of our loyal and devoted colleague and faithful servant of the Lord, William J. Critchlow, J.R., I was greatly impressed by the serenity of his wife, his children, and even his grandchildren. They had been taught and they believed in a literal resurrection, and they knew they would be reunited as a family. I tried to compare their feelings with those who do not have such faith, who will not accept sound doctrine, but who search in vain for hope. I humbly prayed to my Heavenly Father that I would be able to touch the hearts of some and help them to appreciate and understand what great joy and satisfaction and assurance faith in the resurrection gives. Difficulties in acceptance. With all the irrefutable testimonies of the prophets regarding the gospel truths, why is it so difficult for man to accept and endure sound doctrine, which is so important to all of us? Some of the reasons are evident. First, Satan's influence on mankind. In the spirit world, even before the world was, Satan rebelled because his plan was rejected, and God said, wherefore, because that Satan rebelled against me, and sought to destroy the agency of man, which I, the Lord God, had given him, I caused that he should be cast down, and he became Satan, yea, even the devil, the father of all lies, to deceive and to blind men, and to lead them captive at his will, even as many as would not hearken unto my voice. Satan then determined to do all in his power to defeat the work of righteousness, and thus he goes up and down, to and fro, in the earth, seeking to destroy the souls of men. He does so by deceit and flattery, and by his emissaries who teach false doctrine to all who will listen, and it seems that they are meeting with great success. Teachers of false doctrine, communists, antichrists, and the promoters of the God is dead theory, as well as the skeptics and some who style themselves as religious leaders, are actively engaged in teaching false doctrine and in using every hostile means to break down and destroy a belief in God and in the Scriptures, thereby fulfilling the prophecy of Jesus Christ when he said, for there shall arise false Christs, and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Also, many, as they become learned in the worldly things such as science and philosophy, become self-sufficient and are prepared to lean unto their own understanding, even to the point where they think they are independent of God, and because of their worldly learning they feel that if they cannot prove physically, mathematically, or scientifically that God lives, they can and should feel free to question and even to deny God and Jesus Christ. Then many of our professors begin to teach perverse things, to lead away disciples after them, and our youth whom we send to them for learning accept them as authority, and many are caused to lose their faith in God. A graduate student who had just received his Doctor of Philosophy degree was telling me of some of the attacks that are made on Christianity, or a belief in God, and how difficult it is to stand up against them, particularly for those who have not been taught the gospel in their homes and who have not gained a testimony of its truthfulness. He said that one professor taunted him with this statement, surely you don't believe in that archaic stuff you find in the Bible and in your Book of Mormon, and then spent some time with him trying to turn him away from the truth, need for faith in God. I cannot understand a scientist or pseudo-intellectual, or anyone who should be searching for the truth, having the temerity to place himself as authority in religion to the point that he would challenge, let alone deny, the teachings of God the Eternal Father, the Creator of the world, and of his Son Jesus Christ because he cannot prove it scientifically. How much wiser and better it is for man to accept the simple truths of the gospel and to accept as authority God, the Creator of the world, and his Son Jesus Christ, and to accept by faith those things which he cannot disprove and for which he cannot give a better explanation, he must be prepared to acknowledge that there are certain things, many, many things that he cannot understand. How can we deny or even disbelieve God when we cannot understand even the simplest things around us, how the leaf functions, what electricity is, what our emotions are, when the spirit enters the body, and what happens to it when it leaves? How can we say that because we do not understand the resurrection, there is not or cannot be a resurrection? We are admonished to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And we are warned, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. How can man believe and know that he can travel in man-made spaceships around the earth at thousands and thousands of miles an hour, communicate with man here upon the earth, and be directed in his course, with the knowledge that if he keeps in tune with home base he will be guided back to a safe landing, and that mere man can also construct implements such as the surveyor, which he has sent to the moon, with which he has communicated in directing its activities, and from which he has received reports, and still say that it is impossible for an, the creator of the world, to communicate with man, his own creation, who is traveling through space on a spaceship created by God and known as the Earth, and that by keeping in touch with home base he can be assured of a safe return when he has completed his tour here upon the Earth. Application of Christ's teachings. In order to return to our Father in heaven, it is most important that we and our children know and understand and apply the teachings of Jesus Christ in our lives. In order to understand, we must be taught. The question is, where and how are we to be taught? The gospel or the spiritual side of life is not permitted to be taught in the schools. In fact, in so many of our schools, and particularly in the universities, as pointed out before, a belief in God and the teachings of Jesus Christ are derided. It is the general attitude of people that the teaching of the gospel should be left to the churches, but only a small percentage of either the parents or the children attend church, where they could be taught, and to even that small minority who do attend, many of the churches are failing to teach sound, unadulterated doctrine as given to us by the Savior and the prophets through whom the Lord speaks. Responsibility of parents. How many churches today teach that God is a personage, and that we were made in His image, as He said we were? Do we realize how difficult it is to have faith in and love a God who has neither body, parts, nor passions, as so many of the sects are teaching today? In any event, as the Lord has said, the truths of the gospel, which are the most important things in our lives, need to be taught in our homes. These are His words. And again, inasmuch as parents have children in Zion, that teach them not to understand the doctrine of repentance, faith in Christ the Son of the living God, and of baptism and the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of the hands, the sin be upon the heads of the parents, and they shall also teach their children to pray, and to walk uprightly before the Lord, the word of wisdom, to assist the parents in their duty. The Lord speaks through His prophets. Even in these latter days the revelation known as the Word of Wisdom has been given to the world through the prophet Joseph Smith. It advises, among other things, against the use of tobacco and strong drink, and with it is given a promise, if we would just remember to keep this Word of Wisdom, there would be no drunken drivers causing thousands and thousands of accidents and deaths on the highways, there would be much less poverty, fewer broken homes, no alcoholics, and no crimes committed because of the influence of alcohol. No one would be suffering from or dying with lung cancer and other diseases caused by the use of tobacco. In this revelation we also have this promise, and all saints who remember to keep and do these sayings, walking in obedience to the commandments, shall receive health in their navel and marrow to their bones, and shall find wisdom and great treasures of knowledge, even hidden treasures, and shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint. And I, the Lord, give unto them a promise, that the destroying angel shall pass by them, as the children of Israel, and not slay them. Teach doctrines of salvation. Parents, we must not become so engrossed with worldly matters that we fail to teach our children the doctrines of salvation, both by example and by precept. We must teach them a belief in God, that His Son Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, who gave His life that we might be resurrected. How many families today meet in family prayer, or teach their children to pray privately to a personal God who will hear and answer their prayers, or teach them the importance of loving their fellow man? What a great world this would be to live in if all parents would hold a weekly family home evening and would teach their children the word of the Lord. Just accepting and living what He called a great commandment in the law would create a heaven on earth wherein all could dwell in peace and happiness. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Then he said, If ye love me, keep my commandments. If we loved our fellow man, we would not steal, we would not kill, we would not commit adultery, we would not bear false witness or do any of those things which would be detrimental to our neighbor. Blessed is the person who can truthfully say that he believes in God the Eternal Father, and in His Son Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Ghost, that through the atonement of Christ all mankind may be saved, by obedience to the laws and ordinances of the Gospel, and that he is prepared to repent and be baptized for the remission of his sins and then accept and live the teachings of Jesus Christ. I bear testimony that these things are true, in the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.